Blog Talk Radio.
Much for tuning in to the Next Chapter Widows Ministry Talk Show, our ministry embracing widows and others who have lost a special loved one. Just like Travis Green said, he will make a way. God will make a way. I would like to read a couple of things before. We have a couple of guests on tonight. And I am Mary Hollis, your host. And our scripture read, honor widows that are widows indeed. 1 Timothy 5:3. But I have a couple of things that I want to go over first before we bring on our two guests. And I text you indicating, now what is it that you have gone through during the pandemic? So we will talk about that tonight. But I have two scriptures, and I want to go over, and I want to read what it says in depth, the scripture, and as also what it means as far as what God is would be saying to us. Choose life, not death. 2 Kings 18:32. No matter how good or bad your choices have been in your life, there is really just one choice that matters. That is the choice of where you spend eternity. God has given you a free will, and he expects you to use it. You must choose him. Consciously, intentionally choose him, or you will be making a choice by default, a choice against him. The Bible says, It is a life and death matter. Your free will is his gift to you, so we must use it. Joshua 24:15 says, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Do you wish that you could see in the future and know what direction your life will take you if you make this or that choice? Well, I am sure all of us feel that way if we knew what the future will lie. Because right now, what we're dealing with this coronavirus, we don't know when it's going to end, when we're going to go back to some of our norm. We wouldn't mind knowing what the future will hold. Perhaps it is the best that we don't have that option. But if you can put your trust in one who does, listen to the Lord. Choose him. When you do, it will be much easier to make right choices for your life. Choose life and not death. Well, we're going to bring on our two guests tonight. And our first guest is going to be Denise Brown. And our second guest will be Rebecca Davis. Now, Denise is a seasoned widow, and Rebecca is, her loss has been quite, not, she's going to tell you the date, but hers is more recent than Denise's. And I want them to answer this question when they come on. I want them to tell about, you know, introduce themselves and just talk a moment about their husband and when, how long is their husband have transitioned. But also talk about their challenges that they're dealing with during this pandemic. So listen to their heart, and I hope that you'll be encouraged by some of the things that they'll be saying tonight. Denise, if you will. Denise is been with us, the ministry. We are 17 years old this September, and Denise has been a part of the ministry for almost that length of time. She's a great supporter, and she has brought on many widows to the ministry for our support. So I'm going to let her come on and speak and talk about that question that I mentioned. Denise?
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Mary. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm happy to be with you guys tonight. I am Denise Brown. I have been a widow for 23 years on the 25th of next month. June 25th will be 23 years that Ernest Brown has, you know, gone on transition to heaven. And it has been, for me, during this virus, during this pandemic era, it has been a kind of a bittersweet for myself because right now I'm experiencing health challenges. And so Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays I'm at dialysis, which actually ended up turning out to be a blessing for me because I've met so many wonderful people there at the dialysis center that I'm a part of, which is Fresenius on Cascade Road. But the other days that I'm supposed to be home, you know, in quarantine and staying in to be safe, it's been a challenge because I'm here by myself. I'm here alone. So, but I do have people that call and check on me, but it's not the same as being quarantined with your loved ones. And that I would pray would be a good thing to be quarantined with your loved ones. But for some of the actions or transactions that I've been hearing, it might not be such a good thing for some folks. I hear that divorces might be on the rise, but you would think that if you're quarantined with your husband or your wife or your spouse or someone that you love, that it could be a great thing or should be a great thing. You should be getting to, you know, really still know each other, be there for each other. If someone needs attention or needs help, the other one should be able to supply that attention or help for them. I think it's sad, though, if you have a married couple that has been married for a while and then all of a sudden we're quarantined in and now they want to get divorced. I don't know that is something that God, you know, would frown upon. I would think, you know, I don't know. But I say to those that are married, be grateful that you have someone there with you. Be grateful that you have someone that, you know, if you need a drink of water, if you need some food, or if you need whatever you might need, that person is there to attend to you. That would be a great, that's in my eyesight, being a single person would be such a great, I think, a great idea, a great thing to have. So appreciate what you have if you have it. And if we don't, if we're single and widows like myself and Rebecca, then we know we have God. Always, even if we had our husbands here, we always have God. He never leaves us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. We may walk away from him at times, but he is always there for us. And I am so grateful and so thankful for that. And I am also so grateful and so thankful for Mary and Sheila and the next chapter of Widows Ministry. It's been such a blessing in my life. There have been times, you know, when we're alone and we think we're lonely. But when we get that call or we get that text or we get a message from Mary, Sheila, whoever, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful to have. It's a wonderful thing to have. And for that, Mary, I thank you and I appreciate you and I love you so much.
Well, thank you, Denise, and we love you too. And I just want to, Denise has been really an inspiration to many of the widows, and her strength and perseverance has been, it helps for her to, excuse me one second, this computer here. It has been wonderful to know that you've been with us and you give back. You give back to the others, and also when there's a widow from your church or anywhere, you always bring them to be a part of the ministry. So that's wonderful. But I wanted let the audience hear of a seasoned widow, because you said almost how many years now?
It's 23 next month.
Okay, right.
23 years.
Denise and I have a lot in common. Our husband, mm-hmm. both were firemen, and they transitioned in the same month. And
yes.
That's how we became friends, and it all just happened. But it's a long story, but I don't want to take up the time, but we have a lot in common. We had the same month that our husband transitioned. Mine was on the ninth, and yours was later that month, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, oh. Yes. His was the 25th.
Yes. And, Denise, I want you to tell the ladies, widows, that I'm talking to the widows right now, what could you give them? I know you talked about God. What could you say to them to let them know that even though, like some of them, it's new, still new, and hurting and going through lots of emotion, what could you say to them to give them some sort of comfort at this time because of how many years that you have gone through and the strength that you have now and dealing with your health issues and dealing with this pandemic?
Well, the one thing we have definitely, God is utmost, he is first, he is top, he is number one. That's the first thing. But you got to have somebody around you. You can't be alone in this. And even though we're supposed to be quarantined in, and that means a lot of people are alone, we should not be alone. You should have the love of your family. You should have the love of friends and someone that you can talk to. Because we, even though we know that God is, he is our all, he's our source, he's our all in all, but there are times you still need somebody physically to talk to. You need somebody physically to lean on. You need somebody that you know that if I get in a little trouble, I'm here alone by myself, if I get on a little trouble, should my neighbor know that I'm going through a crisis? Or should my family know that I'm going through a crisis? Yes, they should. Yes, they should. You should be able, we should be able to talk to people because we are human. We are human. We need human touch. We need human voices. We need people. And I'm not saying that you have to have all people around you at all times. No, you don't. But you need to have someone that you know is there for you just in case you go into a situation that you need some help. My children have been my source. I'm telling you, they are both grown. They are 39 and almost 35. And they have been, when I tell you, they have been the source here for me, especially lately, you know, that I just don't know what I would have been able to do or what would have happened to myself had I not had them. And I'm just grateful that I do. My grandchildren are my hearts. They are my absolute, they are really, I love my children, but my grandchildren are the reason why I get up on Monday morning, Wednesday morning, and Friday morning and go get these shots and get this blood transfusion, get this blood transfused and all of that, because I need to be here for them. And that's the one thing I have to look forward to. I always have something to look forward to. I mean, we can all get depressed. We can all be down. But there's got to be a way that you come out of it. Having other people around you, your loved ones, is one of those ways. And I tell you personally, it is something that I definitely have had, and I pray that I keep. And, you know, we just always have them there for us as well as we were there for them in raising them. So that's what I would say to our widows, Mary, is that have somebody that you can touch, have somebody that you can talk to, have somebody that you can lean on.
That safe person, a person that you can share anything mm-hmm. with, that person that
yes.
will keep your information confidential, and you can always,
yes.
whenever you feel that need, you can always reach out to that person and be able to talk and share your feelings, and they will
right.
listen.
Yes.
Yeah,
and your true feelings on that. Yeah, exactly.
Great. Thank you so much, Denise, for coming on and sharing that information. I try to use it's good to have widows to talk about what they've gone through so others, they can know that, you know, it's been 20-plus years. It wasn't easy at the very beginning, but you got through it, and now you can go
yes.
back and reach back and let them know that it's a journey, but you can
yes,
get.
Yes, it is. It
but
is.
You can get
and you
God.
Can.
God's help. Okay, thank you. I'm going to get Rebecca on. So
thank
and
you.
She's going to, thank you so much. Rebecca Davis,
yes.
I'm going to let you start talking and do your thing, and we'll end it with a scripture. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Rebecca Davis. Most people call me Becky, and I'll tell you why. My mother called me Becky when times were good, but if I did something terrible, I heard Rebecca Ann, so I knew I was in trouble. So I don't kind of like the name Rebecca too much because it always brings back my mother scolding me. So most people call me Becky, but I'm kind of different from Denise in that I'm fairly a newbie. In fact, this Thursday, the 21st of May, will be my husband's second year anniversary of his death. So it's kind of close. But, you know, God has been so good to me through all of this that he's given me strength. And people ask, how are you doing so well? And I keep telling them, it's all God. I think I prayed more than I've ever prayed in my whole life since my husband passed. And especially with this COVID, now I'm twice as much. So one thing I can say about it is that I've come closer to God. I talk to him. I used to always talk to him anyway because I grew up in a Christian church. My mother was a devout Christian. I mean, I learned everything from her. But I didn't spend as much time. I didn't develop that real close relationship with the Lord. Between my husband's death and this COVID, it has made me develop a close relationship. It's like, I don't know, it's like if you put your trust in him, he just seems to give you what you need. Now, if there's anyone that's as new as I am, it's not easy. When I guess the first 3 months, I probably cried every night. But I prayed every day and every night. And I asked the Lord, please give me strength. And he would do just what he said he would do. If you ask, he will give it to you. And I asked and I asked, and people would call and say, how you doing? I said, well, I'm doing fairly well. Well, how are you doing? How are you doing so well? I said, it's all God. I just laid everything in his lap, so to speak, and said, I can't do this, Lord. I don't have the strength. I'm so used to my husband doing everything around this house. He was a handyman. I mean, he was a professional truck driver, but he was also a handyman. So handy, in fact, sometimes he scared me because when we first moved in our home, the basement wasn't finished. So he said he was going to finish the basement. And I'm like, but you need an electrician, you need a plumber. How are you going to do it? Oh, I got this, I got this. I was a nervous wreck because I didn't think he knew how to do all these things. Well, if you ever get a chance to come to my home, and if you see my basement, you will say, I know your husband didn't do this himself. He did. He had a garden in the yard, and we always had fresh fruits and vegetables. And I was so used to eating so well, and see, I was spoiled too, I must say, because he did spoil me. He was an excellent cook. So he cooked all the meals. I didn't have to cook. I knew how to cook, but I didn't enjoy cooking. So that worked out well because now I don't have to cook, but I did the cleaning and the other stuff. But he did the gardening. He did the handiwork around the house. He did the cooking and everything else I did. So when I first lost him, it wasn't a shock because, like some other people, their husband might have died suddenly of a heart attack. My husband had a brain tumor. And the ironic part about this whole thing is that 4 years ago, I also had a brain tumor. But mine was benign. Unfortunately, his was malignant. It was the same brain tumor that, what's his name? I can't even call his name. John, the one that passed, the senator. John McCain, I'm sorry. The same one that he had. And... Uh-huh. The doctor had told us that it was just a matter of time that we didn't know. So I think I would have preferred if he had gone quickly. Because then, now I don't know, because watching him suffer was the hardest thing. Because you see the strong, strapping man able to do everything to be reduced down to hardly being able to do anything for himself. And I could see it in his eyes. It was just hurting him. He didn't want me to see him that way. And I was praying. I said, Lord, get him better. But, Lord, if he's suffering, please take him. I mean, and every night, I didn't sleep very well during that time. Every night, I was nervous because we knew he was going to go, but we didn't know when. And I would say to the Lord, am I going to see him in the morning? Is he going to be here or am I going to be alone? So each day, I struggled because I didn't know whether each day would be the last day. So kind of in a way, when the last day did come, it was almost like a relief. He's not suffering anymore because I think it hurt both of us because you could see he hated that I had to come in there and, so to speak, change his diaper because he had gotten reduced to that point. And, you know, when you have a strong man who's used to doing everything for himself, and I would always say to him, honey, it's okay. It's okay. We married for better or for worse, rich or poor, and all the things that go with it. I'm going to be here with you no matter what. I don't mind doing all these things. I love you. You're my husband. I'm going to take care of you. But I must say, strange as it sounds, when that time finally arrived, it was like, Lord, thank you. Keep him with you, but give me the strength to go on without him. And I prayed and I prayed. And I had the support of family, thank God, because I too live alone. But I do have a dog. And I'm telling you, that dog has been a blessing because I think he can feel what I'm feeling. When I feel down, he jumps up in my lap. He makes me pet him. He makes me play with him. So it's like he has helped to bring me around. And I have gotten stronger. I didn't think I would ever heal. And I really, from what I understand, I did very well because most people say it takes longer than 2 years. And I mean, no, I haven't forgotten my husband. I will never forget him. But I can go on with life. I can look forward to tomorrow. What is tomorrow going to bring? God is so good, people. He is so good. If you just put your trust in him, I would tell anybody, I could not have done this by myself. And now I'm cooking, learning new recipes. And, you know, I'm not used to being in the kitchen. So I'm doing things that I've never done before. And, of course, you might know by him being a handyman, everything is falling apart now because he's not here. But I have learned to do some of the things myself. He has all his tools in the garage. I went out there and got some tools. I had something that came loose. I said, I'm going to learn how to fix some of this stuff. And when I saw that I had fixed it, I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I can do some things by myself. So when we need the strength and when we need the guidance, if we just trust God, he will give it to us. And I'm still on the journey. You know, there are days when, you know, I got so many memories of this house. So there are days when I just cry. But then the next day, I'm fine. So, you know, for the new widows who are just starting out, you're going to have those days. But just know, if you put your total trust, when I say total, I think of a song that we used to sing in my church in New Jersey. And it would say that after all that God has done for us, we still don't trust him enough. So I think with the challenge of the COVID-19 and my husband's death, I have learned to trust God, to give him my total trust. I let him know that I need you, Lord, for everything. I need you to guide me even in the kitchen, how to cook certain things, how to fix certain things around the house. And so that's why I said we serve a mighty God. All you have to do is trust him. And my niece said to me, she says, you know, here lately, Auntie, you're becoming like a preacher. I said, girl, God has been so good to me, I can't help but testify. I said, because I can see him and all the things around me, all that he's doing for me. It's a blessing. So for anyone out there who is just beginning, trust him. It'll be all right. It'll take a moment, but it'll be all right. And you're going to come out on the other side and, like me, just say, thank you, Jesus. So that's
how
basically
it. How often did you cry?
Oh, God, for the first 2 or 3 months, probably every day or all day, my eyes stayed swollen. And then I had to take a good look in the mirror, and I said, look at you. Your husband would want you like this. And that's when I really started praying harder. And really started turning it totally to God. And it made all the difference in the world. When I just released everything and said, it's not mine anymore, Lord, it's yours. It just changed my whole life.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. And I hope that this was encouraging to some of you out there because you can get through it. It will take some time. It hurts. It's sometimes it hurts so much you just don't want to say, Lord, why is it hurting so much? You know, take away this pain, all those questions, but he's going to find ways to comfort you in some kind of way. So, Rebecca, and then you went to starting to get recipes and started cooking like your husband did. So there that you start doing that will help you to get through this time. Quick question. When did you think, even though it's been 2 years, real quick, what did you do differently that could have, you think that made a big difference? I know praying a lot, but how those first six months, what was something maybe you did that helped your journey? You know, I know you prayed, but was anything else that you could real quick?
Yeah, I try to keep like a regular routine of what I would have done had he been here. I try not to alternate, you know, too much in what I would normally do. So keeping the same routine, but then finding new things also helps. You know, meeting new friends. And in fact, I need to tell everyone how I met you, Mary. My husband and I both went to Lou Walker Center on the water volleyball team. And Pat Jones, who was a member of Mary's church, was on the team with us. So when my husband passed, you know, she knew me and knew him too. And she told me, she recommended Mary to me. At the time, I wasn't really ready to see anyone, but that was the best thing that could have happened to me, people, because by going to her and having talked with God, I had decided that I needed to start a ministry of my own at my church. So now I have two ministries. I have Mary's ministry, and I have my ministry. So her ministry has been a blessing to me, a blessing.
All right. Thank you so much, Rebecca and Denise. We're out of time. I just want to read the scripture real quickly, but thank you so much for being supportive and coming out and reaching out to the other ladies. God bless you. But I just want to end with a comforting word from Isaiah 30, 19 verse. The Lord will hear you crying, and he will comfort you. When he hears you, he will help you. Just believe that he will do that. And have a great week, and I hope that this was some sort of encourage things that you may have gone through or going through, and you know that you're going to get through, because these two ladies have gotten through it, and you can get through it as well. And it's just not just for a spouse, for any loss that you've lost and dealing with. You can get through it. But memories are the best things, too. It is so important to keep those wonderful memories and sometimes smile about it. But be blessed and tune in again next week, same time, from 10 to 10:30 p.m., and have a great evening. And I will end this with, Keep the Faith by Charles Jenkins. Be blessed and good night.
When you're standing at a crossroads, what do you do? Real sweet, when a fork is in the road. When the world is on your shoulders. When your back is up against the wall. Come on. What do you do? You hold on. And keep the faith. Tell somebody on your road. Say. Somebody sitting around you, keep the faith. Come on, encourage somebody else, keep the faith. Come on, where do you look? When there's nowhere else to look. Where do you turn? When there's nowhere else to turn. Where do you go? When there's nowhere else to go. What do you do? When there's nothing else to do. You gotta remember, you're in the Master's hands. And the Master has a plan. So hold on.
Let's go!
somebody.